Welcome to the Liberators Podcast, a podcast designed to promote physical, psychological, spiritual, and financial freedom. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Liberators Podcast. We have a very special guest today, Mr. Benjamin C. Fields, who is a native of New Orleans displaced to North Louisiana during Hurricane Katrina. Benjamin decided to attend Loyola University of New Orleans to continue his academic and athletic career in the fall of 2014. During his time at Loyola, Benjamin was immersed in many extracurricular activities throughout the campus while balancing his academic and athletic duties. Benjamin's time at Loyola did not lack adversity. He endured three major surgeries that threatened his basketball career and cost him his sophomore and junior seasons on the court. Standing strong in his faith, he used those trials to teach him about patience and hard work. By using this time wisely, he was able to strengthen not only his body, but support his team and focus on his studies while also being heavily involved on campus. Upon receiving his Bachelor's of Business Administration and Finance in the spring of 2018, Benjamin immediately started a full-time position as business manager and lead consultant for rapper Aha Gazelle and Aha Gazelle LLC. In January of 2019, Benjamin had the rare opportunity to return to Loyola University of New Orleans basketball team for another semester. While pursuing another bachelor's degree in accounting, he helped the Wolfpack to their first ever SSAC championship and Sweet 16 appearance in the NAIA National Tournament. Simultaneously, he was offered a financial planning position in the Central Business District of New Orleans. This allows him to show and equip clients with the benefits of being financially prepared for any and every situation. He is licensed to practice in 17 states with clients across the U.S., He was also recently appointed to the Board of Trustees at his alma mater, Loyola University, New Orleans, making him the youngest board member in the university's history. Benjamin's hobbies include working out, reading, and coaching basketball. He is happily married to the love of his life, Miss Louisiana 2018, and Broadway singer, actor Holly Conway Fields. Please join me in welcoming a very special guest for today, Mr. Benjamin C. Fields. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So today we'll be talking about how to balance different commitments at a high level. But before we get into that, you know, a bio is good and everything to understand the general gist of a person. But, you know, we always like to know a little bit more about the journey and the road that you had to take to arrive at your current position in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm humbled to be here. I see everything you have going from the books now to the podcast. So, man, I was elated to get the invite, and I'm happy to be here. So, yeah, like you said, I'm originally from New Orleans. I moved to North Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina. That's where my mom is from. My mom's originally from Sterlington, Louisiana. So when we evacuated for Katrina, we ended up staying with my grandparents for a little while, and that's where we ended up, you know, settling down. My parents got a house in a town called Bernice, Louisiana, which is like 20 minutes from Arkansas. So shout out to the 318. I know a lot of people like to call North Louisiana South Arkansas, but man, we gotta start giving North Louisiana some love. Right. Ended up, you know, moving up there, finishing high school up there. I ended up, you know, going from one small school to another, you know, kind of bigger school. And I graduated from a school called Union Parish High School, and then had the opportunity to go back to New Orleans. My mom actually went to law school at Loyola. So when I took that visit, it was, you know, it felt comfort. I felt comfortable and she felt comfortable, and taking the opportunity to, you know, feel like if you've been to North Louisiana, you know the community that you're upon. So being able to go back to a school and have that similar feel, be a part of a community rather than going from high school and becoming a number at a very large university, I was able to go to Loyola and pursue my degree there, and it felt good. And Little do a lot of people know that when I first got to Loyola, I actually started off as a major in accounting. My mom majored in accounting, and I felt like that was, you know, the route that I was going to go. I knew I wanted to be in a business school, but I realized I didn't want to sit for the CPA. So that's when I decided to, you know, switch gears and go the finance route. I like the broad aspect of business and what finance entails. So that's what I decided to do. And then graduated 2018, of course. And then my brother has been doing music since he was in high school, and he's been taking it serious. And he actually signed his first record deal while I was in college. So my whole mindset going into the business school was the fact that, you know, I played basketball. I went to Loyola on a full basketball scholarship, and played basketball all through, you know, ever since eighth grade. I was taking it serious, literally playing year round. I would play, you know, during the season at my school, and I would play AAU over the summer. And then once I realized that, you know, due to the, you know, the multiple injuries that I know we'll, you know, get into later, that basketball wasn't going to be, you know, the forefront, that, you know, my reason for business of, you know, anticipate making a lot of money playing a sport and wanted to know everything going on. I figured that, okay, I wanted to, you know, at least play a part in what my brother was doing. I knew that he was going to be able to make money doing music, and he was able to pursue his dream. So if I could be that trustworthy person in his circle that knew the inner workings of things that he wasn't, you know, necessarily too focused on, I feel like that'd be a good aspect to his business. So that's what I decided to do. Graduated 2018, started working for him full time. I literally graduated one weekend and I was on tour with him the next. And we, you know, traveled the country and were able to perform in different places. And I was able to, you know, play a role in the, you know, making sure that, you know, venues got taken care of, making sure that merch was taken care of and got sold, making sure that his musicians got paid, making sure him got paid, and even his understanding the streaming business and understanding how he got paid on that end as well. So learned a lot, and it's been a blessing, and he's been supportive in what I do on the other side. So the least that I can do is make sure that he's taken care of. And that was, you know, a certain area of my life. And then I did that for about a full year after I graduated. And then, like you said, I had the rare opportunity to return back to school. I was literally, my brother was in between Atlanta and North Louisiana. I remember being in North Louisiana, and my coach gave me a call and said that since I had eligibility left over, he had a young group that was very talented, but could use some guidance, could use some leadership. And he valued the leadership role that I had when I was at Loyola. So he, you know, wanted me to entertain the idea of coming back. So it happened, and I wouldn't change it for the world. It was a rare situation, but it's definitely a blessing. I feel like God was giving me the opportunity to end things on, you know, my terms, going from, you know, two ACL surgeries on my left knee, ACL surgery on my right knee, and then a Achilles surgery on my left Achilles. It was a lot. So being able to go back to school and play a huge role on a very good basketball team and win the SSAC tournament championship, and then go to the national tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. And I actually had the opportunity to hit the game winning shot that sent us to the Sweet 16. So it was an amazing feeling. And I felt like that was the perfect ending for my basketball career. And then going from there, being able to be in New Orleans and be in position, I feel like that's a big aspect of my life. And I feel like I've been talking for a long time, but being in position, the fact that I was in New Orleans back for school, I was in position to pursue this career. The managing partner at the New York Life General Office in New Orleans was a basketball player at Auburn, and we had a mutual connection. He reached out to me. This wasn't even a job that I, you know, applied for. It was more so something that I feel like it was all the things were working in my favor. So I interviewed for it, and we hit it off from there. And he's one of the, you know, one of my mentors in my life, and is pushing me to excel. And I feel like, you know, going from being able to work for my brother, then coming back to New Orleans and being New Orleans to pursue this career, and then everything that's lined up since then, ranging to meeting my wife and then getting married, and the inner workings of everything is going on. It's everything's lining up. And I feel like going from there, I've been working at New York Life going on 3 years now. Like you said, have clients all over the country, and I'm just able to help people make smart decisions with their money. And it's really a joy. And you mentioned the board of trustees, and I know we're going to get into that later as well, but let's get into more questions. I don't want to feel like I'm rambling
for now. No, definitely. I think that an important thing to understand with your journey is your ability to relocate, adapt. How well do you think that being able to survive in different environments and learn people and learn how they operate, learn their ways and customs has allowed you the ability to be able to communicate in your different roles and working with the artists and working with financial planning, as well as working with the board of trustees? Like, what role do you think that being immersed in so many different cultures and demographics of people helps you to be able to communicate better?
It's necessary. I feel like, first off, being African-American, it's almost like we're born with being adaptable in our DNA. Right. So being able to understand perspective, being able to understand that the reason that people would even want you around, or the reason people would even want to have those conversations, is to understand how you view things, because I feel like people are unique and wonderfully made, and everybody views things in a different light. So understanding the role that I can play in different rooms has always been a driving force. Understanding going from the basketball court to the classroom, and then from a classroom to a club, and then from a club to a board meeting. It's been very, very important for me to understand. It's like, okay, let me soak things in. Let me be a sponge. Let me understand the value that I can add in whatever situation that I'm in. And that's how I always view things. So I feel like you said, like ranging from being uprooted as a 10-year-old from, you know, my home to going to North Louisiana to, you know, from the city to the country and understanding how they work up there, from a massive elementary school to a school that's K through 12, understanding how people think up there, and taking the knowledge that I've had and then gaining more knowledge and building on there. And then going from, you know, North Louisiana back to New Orleans as a young adult, being able to pursue a degree. And then I feel like the different situations I've been in has just been, you know, experience, and being able to take that experience and apply it to each and everything I do today. It's been definitely imperative.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like, I notice sometimes when people are, you know, they move around a lot, like kids that are, you know, their parents are in the military and things like that, they can turn inward in a way, as opposed to making friends and making relationships. They start to feel like, well, let me not build a relationship because chances is I'm going to move. Chances is I'm going to, you know, but you flip that mindset on his head and was like, okay, I'm going to use this as ability to, or opportunity rather, to build relationships in different places, you know. And I think that that's a important perspective to have.
Yeah, I think, and I it has to stem from my parents. Like I had amazing parents that pushed me to my limits and were able to expose me to different aspects of life, ranging from, like, my dad's an educator. My dad's been in the school system ever since I was a child. So seeing how he's been able to operate with his students and then his teachers, and him even becoming a principal right now, and now, you know, him being in a leadership role, and understanding something that's always been big in my family is love languages. People receive love differently. So, I mean, I feel like that's just like another level of perspective. Like, you have to understand how people operate in order to, especially working in a team. So both my parents are athletes, me being an athlete, understanding how team works. So regardless of where I was in life, I feel like that was just another level of me looking at, okay, this is just my new team right now. And, you know, ranging, you know, starting in eighth grade, playing AAU, my parents being able to allowed me to travel the country and play all over the place. And I'm an AU boss. Like, it's almost, you fly in and you, I'm playing with y'all today.
Right. Right.
I'm Ben. Y'all, okay, this is what you do. Okay. Let's go out here and try to get a win. So I feel like that's how I approach life, regardless of where I'm at. It's like, okay, I look around. It's like, all right, I'm playing with y'all today. What do I have to do in order to help us win?
Yeah. And I think being a team player and adaptability is one of the major roles to success, exactly. You know, because every situation isn't going to be the same. Every environment won't be the same. And right. Having that tool in your toolbox is something that's definitely integral to success. But I kind of want to pivot a little bit. I noticed that adversity is a really underlying theme throughout your life's path. And let's talk a little bit about how the impact of Hurricane Katrina in 2005 and the knee surgeries throughout your college basketball career, what type of impact did it have on your worldview, your perspective on life?
That's big. And I feel like that's even something I'm still unpacking continuously as, I'm 25 years old now, and Hurricane Katrina happened when I was around 19 years old. So I'm not really understanding that impact until now. And being able to, you know, take pride in understanding how I operate, take pride in understanding my mental health. And I personally have a therapist, and I personally have people that I'm able to consult with and talk to understand. It's like, okay, like, you don't understand why you make certain decisions until you realize it's like, oh, wow. Like you said, I've always moved around. Like my oldest friends are from college, you know, not being able to really like root certain things. So it's definitely made a major impact. And I feel like I'm in a blessed situation to where it's been more positive than negative. I've been able to always be optimistic in certain scenarios. I view it as just like you said, being in different places and being able to learn how to adapt. I don't think that was something I was able to you know, fully comprehend until now, like, you know, being moved from Katrina. So school to school. And I mean, I went from, two schools here to three schools in North Louisiana to another high school to college and then out of school then back to college. So being able to just be in so many different scenarios, I feel like I've gained more than I've lost. So adversity has definitely been a role, and then ranging into, basketball. I mean, I can't even, you know, sometimes put into words like what I've had to go through to, you know, just play the sport that I love. I feel like I was blessed with some talent. I was blessed with height. I was blessed with coordination. So, and I love the sport, but, you know, throughout all the surgeries, and I feel like being optimistic was the only thing that I could rely on. I'm big on my faith, and like being able to understand that, you know, God wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. And that if this isn't what's for me, then what is for me is going to be way better. And it, like I credited my parents for, you know, that certain aspects of my life, my mindset, like them being able to instill the word of God and my faith within me has been my strength, has been my foundation. And I've just been building from that.
Mm-hmm. Where does the mentality come from to see the glass half full rather than half empty? You know, to have the positive, optimistic view of life as opposed to having a pessimistic view. Because a lot of athletes, you know, if they would have went through what you went through, they may have felt that all they had to offer in life was to be an athlete. You know, you had a mindset to say, well, okay, I may be injured here, but I'm going to build my abilities as a student. I'm going to build my abilities as being social, the relationships. What does that mentality come from to always be positive and to always see the opportunity, even in a bad situation?
I feel like I was a part of a family that we never put all our eggs in one basket. Even me, a basketball player, I played every sport I was able to while I was growing up. I played baseball, I ran track. I was a part of different clubs, even as a young kid. So always having that mindset, and my dad being an educator, school was always first. I was like, if I was doing my part in school, like basketball was such an afterthought. So with that always being the mindset, it stemmed from there. So to where I'm in life right now, and I might not be able to do something on my career path, but not just, you know, hitting a brick wall because of that, trying to focus and pivot to other things, that always having the mindset of controlling what I can control in whatever scenario I'm in. There's, you know, certain things that you just can't stop. You know, there's certain things that you have no control over. So rather than, you know, sitting on my thumbs and trying to, you know, wait for, you know, paint to dry, I always look at things and say, all right, if I can't do anything to impact this right now, let me focus on things that I can impact, and then try to double back and make sure that at the end of the day, I'm doing everything that I can do to just excel and just get better each and every day.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Like sometimes, you know, with not being able to control certain situations, the problem that we run into is patience. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's another thing I wanted to ask you about, how to develop the patience to let your body heal properly, to, you know what I mean? To understand that, okay, I'll be back, but in time, you know, in God's time, and learning, understanding God's time.
Yeah, and I feel like I learned it the hard way. I mean, it's a different ball game when you can't walk for 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different ball game. You have to, you know, you're used to doing things a certain way, and now I got to sit down to shower. And then, like, I mean, in those moments, it's just, you know, me and time. It's me and time, me and time and God, and just, like, figuring out, like, okay, like, what can I be focused on? Like, so, I mean, in those situations, it's like, I mean, my first ACL surgery was, you know, going into my junior year of high school. And like, as a kid, you don't understand the impact of your decisions, even now. So if I could look back on that, I know I rushed things. You know, I know I could have slowed things down. And with the level I'm even still able to play basketball right now, I always think, you know, no, I'm not a regretful person, but it's like, you know, those thoughts still cross your mind. If I would have, you know, handled this way, this could have been maybe a little bit different. But then also remembering that, you know, everything happens for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to his purpose. So my dad's a pastor. So I know the word. So like that's what's on the inside of me. I'm always thinking about it. It's like, all right, you can what if yourself to death. You don't want to continue to just what if yourself. It's just always a focus of, all right, that experience happened. What did I gain from that experience? How is that experience going to better me today?
Yeah. My mom used to have it, you know, they used to have a saying that said, you know, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry.
Yeah. I'm praying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Bible says be anxious for nothing.
Right. So in 2019, you were able to return to Loyola, help them win an SSAC championship and a Sweet 16 berth. What lessons did you learn from this full circle moment, but how did it feel?
It felt amazing. The ring is somewhere, but like being able to, you want that. Like in high school, I went to 2 state championships, became runner-ups in both of them. So being able to, it's like 2018, I thought my basketball career was over. You know, this is the sport that I love. And honestly, it's the sport that I've been, you know, putting first per se ever since the 8th grader. So you don't really need this hard pill to swallow. So though being able to go back and, you know, being able to practice again, you know, being able to lead on the floor again and just being able to, you know, play the sport you love is just an amazing feeling. And then being able to win a championship and then, you know, compete for something else. It was surreal. It was surreal, and it was rare. It was rare, and I'm happy it happened to me. And my parents always said the favor of God is over my life. So I definitely feel like that was definitely God's favor shining on me. And it's also the thought that it was a part of something bigger. I feel like God wanted me to come back to New Orleans, and that is what he used to get me back here. And I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. And in that moment, I did what I was supposed to do. So it was definitely an amazing feeling.
Did you feel validated?
I could say, I mean, when you get something that you don't expect, I don't know if you would necessarily call that validation. It wasn't something that I planned on. And I mean, I know you can make all the plans that you want, but God's going to laugh at the end of the day. So it's just like when it comes down to it, it just seemed like it's just a big blessing. It was just a blessing overall. And then knowing that I played with seniors that on this current Loyola team, and those boys are 16-0 right now. They're number one in the country, and they're, you know, on their way to an NAIA national championship. And being able to know that maybe I planted some seeds that were able to impact them to, you know, be the team that they are today and be the young men that they are. And I'm definitely grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. It seems, just, you know, talking to you and having conversations, that you understand that your role in life is bigger than you. And how important it is to serve others and help others become the best version of themselves, you know, and what you do is service, you know, to a lot of people. So I mean, kind of going into a little bit of the roles that you have, something unique about your education is that you have a bachelor's degree of business administration and accounting. Why these two majors in particular?
Like I said earlier, my mom kind of, you know, not even instilled in me. I knew she made it, majored in accounting, and I was like, you know, you just as a child, you want to be like your parents. So I was like, let me see how this looks. And it's like, I love numbers, I love math, but when I was going, you know, on that accounting track, I was like, do I want to sit down and look at, you know, So I was like, nope, this isn't the route that I want to go. So when I graduated in finance and then had the opportunity to come back, already being from the business school, I had enough credits to pursue another degree in accounting. So the plan was to take all accounting classes, and I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. Just no electives, no extracurriculars on the schedule. Just accounting this, accounting that. So it was definitely a trying moment in my life, especially at a time where school wasn't, I wouldn't say the priority, but I went back, you know, to play basketball. So being able to go back and experience that and honestly test myself, it definitely tested me, and it wasn't a easy time in my life. And then, I mean, in hindsight, you know, it all makes sense. But in that moment, you're thinking, oh man, wow, I came back to, you know, once the season was over, I'm like, what am I really doing here? And then at that moment, I had already been offered that job, and I accepted it. So I'm rolling into a career. I'm back in a new city. I got a place to stay, and now I'm, you know, still dealing with school. So it was definitely a trying moment in my life, but I feel like with what I do, my overall goal is to be able to come in, especially on the finance side, and help people across the board. My focus is on making sure people are saving and budgeting, investing their money, and protecting their money as well as they possibly can. So as much knowledge as I can have on that front, it's definitely benefited me now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know hindsight is always 2020. Do you feel that your university education has provided you a strategic advantage as a business manager for your brother?
100%. Okay. 100%. And I feel like when you look at Loyola University's New Orleans College of Business, they do everything they possibly can to prepare you for the actual, rather than just sitting in the classroom and learning different charts, or sitting in the classroom and learning different formulas. They have a portfolio program literally catered to making sure that you become a business person, rather than being able to, you know, go sit in a cubicle and, you know, punch numbers. We're interviewing, you know, we're making sure our resume is on top of everything. And we actually even have a business mentor program that I'm a part of now. When I was a freshman, I was assigned a mentor that was in the, you know, in the business side of New Orleans, that we were able to go around the city and talk to different business owners and understand the inner workings of business. So that's something I'm able to do with my own group of freshmen. So knowing that their focus in the business school is something that has benefited me now has been, like, you know, tremendous. That was one of my main reasons of wanting to go back and have that same impact on other students coming up.
Mm-hmm. And I know, like, there's this concept and danger of what a lot of people like to call homeboy management, that type of thing. And, you know, Nas had a lyric where he said, you know, I'd rather had a Damon, you know, as far as being, you know, referencing Damon Dash, I'd rather had that. You know, he was like, I had drug addicts to trust, you know, right. That was his management, and that's who was responsible for his career at the time. And it's really crazy to think about. And I was talking to one of my friends earlier. We were talking about the 48 Laws of Power. And in that book, it explains something, how having friends and family in business can be dangerous, you know, because they're not always qualified, or they may have this sense of entitlement. But what you've been able to do with your brother, I think, something that can't be overlooked is the fact that you actually have the skill. You know what I mean? You know what you're doing as far as accounting and business management is concerned. For those artists who may be wanting to hire a family member, or hire a brother, or hire a friend, what would be your advice to them as far as, like, making sure that that person has the skills to where the business won't tank?
Oh, but definitely. I feel like the mindset that you want to have with working with anyone is just to make sure that they're qualified. Regardless of how you feel about a person or regardless of the relationship, at the end of the day, as an artist, you're an entrepreneur. You are a business. So you want someone that is going to come in and add value to your business. And so that was my mindset with my brother. And I remember as a junior, talking to him, and he even had another manager at the time, and like talking to them and trying to just figure out where I could make an impact and where I can add value. So when I graduated and knowing that there was, you know, a little lack on the, you know, more so on the business side, like making sure that they had systems in place to excel and make sure that taxes were being done and making sure that things were being monitored rather than the mindset of let's, you know, make some money and, you know, put the money back in the business and make some more money. So more so making sure that systems could be in place. So that was the mindset. So I feel like when someone is looking to add that to their business, regardless of what it may be, I mean, you don't necessarily have to find like a one-trick pony. It's just like, okay, I'm making this song and I want to drop these clothes with this song. Let me find someone that, you know, is knowledgeable on, you know, clothes. Let me find someone who has a passion of that. And that might not be someone that already is qualified, but if you want somebody close to you that is working with you that you already trust, you know, show them what they need to go. Like, show them what they need to know and put them in the right scenarios. So I feel like that's always going to be the mindset, regardless of what you're trying to tackle or who you're trying to work with. It's just the qualification aspect. Like, as long as they're doing what they need to do. And I mean, I feel like as an artist, don't be, you know, one track minded either. I mean, as a creative, like I know my brother's a creative, but he still is involved with other things that are going on. So you don't want to be naive either or ignorant with what's going on, just wanting everybody else to do it for you. So I feel like that's always going to be the mindset, just making sure that you're aware. You're aware. And I think with me, like, it wasn't just, you know, I graduated and I got a finance degree and here you can do whatever you want. This is still something that I had to more so slowly, gradually get acclimated to, and even, you know, build trust on that front. Like, I'm his brother, but like even building trust as a business manager and being able to show him, yeah, I know how to answer emails. Yeah, I know how to handle myself on the road. Yeah, I know how to handle myself when someone might not be paying on time or there's not a deposit missing or things in certain situations. So it's an experience game, and it's definitely a knowledge game. So the more you're able to, you know, prove yourself, and it's, you know, on the business side and even on the regular side, at the end of the day, I feel like as an artist, they just need help. Help him, you know what I'm saying? When he's traveling, like making sure that, you know, flights are getting booked, making sure cars are getting rented, making sure luggage is being, you know, taken from point A to point B, those different scenarios. I feel like if you have a mindset of, you know, just being a servant in any regard, if you're trying to be involved with someone, that's always going to serve you better.
Okay. So what does being a business manager for artists entail in the day-to-day?
I feel like that'll be different depending on the artist. My brother's independent. There's no record label. There's no, you know, whole team of people backing him. So how we operate is a little different than, you know, someone that might be signed to a big label that has people under them, you know, pushing their music. So with us, it's more so making sure that, like I said, those systems are in place. Like we're meeting once a month. We're making sure that we have a plan. So like whether the music is dropping, whether a video is getting shot, whether a show is coming up, we're planning things out. I'm making itineraries, understanding, you know, I'm seeing everything coming in, everything going out on the money side. I'm keeping track of all of that. I do preparation for his accountant, making sure, you know, taxes are being filed accordingly. And then when it comes down to any other things, like I'm checking the email. So, you know, people are, you know, reaching out for a feature, people reaching out for sponsorship, or they want to, you know, collab on a certain aspect of things. So I'm, you know, we have admin looking at their stuff, but, you know, I also have access and I can look and make sure that, oh, this could be a good idea. This could be a good, you know, I like being a glue in certain situations, taking, you know, him and put him together with something else that might work to, you know, mutually benefit them both. So I feel like that's the main thing. And I mean, honestly, yeah, my mindset just starting off was just to help, like seeing where he needed help. And if someone wasn't doing something, oh, can I help do that? I know, you know, initially he had, you know, people booking shows and stuff. I was like, man, I don't know if we necessarily have to pay somebody out, you know, out of to do that. I can check an email and make sure that things are getting booked. And traveling, it's just like, man, I can book a flight, you know, I can book a rental. That was the mindset I took on. And I feel like when you view business, I feel like that's the main thing you want to understand. It's like, all right, this isn't just, you know, my brother rapping. Like, my brother is his own business. I view him as a corporation. So however I can add value to the business, that's what I do.
Okay. And in addition to managing your brother, you also do financial. What is your daily role consist of here?
I help people make smart decisions with their money that line up with their values and their goals. I have around 2 to 3 meetings a day, and I'm literally talking to people about what they value. I'm talking to people about what their goals are. I'm seeing where they currently are financially. And I'm trying to do everything I can within, you know, their means to get them to that next level and get them to reaching their goals. I feel like that's the passion of mine. I love having those conversations. And while I'm kind of picky of who I might bring on as a client, I talk to as many people I possibly can. I feel like a lot of times when it comes down to finances, people aren't aware. People don't have that conversation. And if they are having that conversation, it might be a little too late. So I'm in a blessed position to have a market ranging from, you know, kids still, you know, probably just graduating high school, starting off college, all the way up to, you know, people almost touching retirement and being able to, like you said earlier, adapt to those situations. Like knowing that, okay, I'm talking to you. Let's just talk about, you know, raising capital and, you know, getting that job that you want and, you know, start making the money that you like. And then talking to someone else, and it's like, all right, we need to figure out how to make sure that you're comfortable and not running out of money in retirement. So it's literally a relationship, a conversation, business. And I feel like that's something that's, you know, symmetrical with a lot of things that I do. And I can, you know, don't even have to really worry about product too much, because most of the time, once people understand, it's like, okay, you know, my job is doing this, my job isn't doing that. I'm doing this for money, I'm not doing that. What do I have to do in order to get to where I want to be? And then that's what I try to, you know, get in where I fit in right there. Mm-hmm.
And I think also, like, in our communities, it's great what you're doing, because in our communities, finances, investment is almost, you know, it's treated like a taboo. And I think that's, you know, that it has a lot to do with the ignorance around understanding, you know, that the dollar every day is inflate, you know, it's losing money. You know what I mean? So if you're not investing, there's no way that you can retire, you know, and be 100% comfortable if you're not investing in something. And, you know, a lot of people depend on the job and depend on the state, but, you know, that can be that. Yeah. That's a rug that can be swept from up under your feet at any given time. And what were you saying?
No, I said really quick.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we were talking previously about life insurance and how it can be used as a cash vehicle. I just wanted you to explain that to the people, because I think that's something that a lot of people are not aware of, as to how to use a life insurance policy, how to get a Roth IRA, Roth 401k. Mm-hmm. All of these different vehicles that can set you up to where when you retire, you don't have to go work 2 jobs. You don't have to go be trying to do these odd jobs to make ends meet, because you prepared.
Definitely. And I mean, I feel like we still have to, you know, kind of take a step back and understand that there's a reason behind all of that. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of tough to, you know, trust a system that hasn't necessarily been good to you historically. So, you know, trying to, you know, change the narrative isn't going to be easy, but it all starts with that conversation. And I'm blessed to be able to have those types of conversation. And I'm ranging from, you know, of course, money. And then, of course, when you bring insurance into play. And yeah, I know we talked earlier, and it was just a matter of like trying to change the mindset when it comes to insurance. Most of the times we think of life insurance as just a check when somebody dies. And it's crazy to me, because when you think of car insurance or health insurance or homeowners insurance. These are things that you have to have, but there's only one insurance that's not being forced on you. I don't think that's a coincidence. When you think of one of the easiest ways to secure generational wealth, right then and there, that is happening, that is guaranteed, or the easiest ways to pass down an estate, or even, you know, pass down a certain level of income instantly, it's going to be life insurance. That's going to be the easiest way. And while we always think of, you know, just paying a premium just to get a death benefit, there are multiple other ways to do it. And I know we talked about one way is just having a permanent policy and viewing that policy as, okay, this is going to secure my legacy, but I could probably also use this as a tax-free cash building vehicle that could supplement my retirement. Even when I, you know, think about my brother, and that's an entrepreneur, he doesn't have a 401k through his job. He has to take control of his own finances and put money in places that are going to benefit him in the long run. And life insurance was one of the first places that we decided to go because it's something that isn't going to be affected by the market. And it's something that's going to be coming out tax-free when it's all said and done. So a lot of people don't know that that's even possible. A lot of people don't know that you can, you know, turn a life insurance policy into a bank of your own. And rather than having to go to a bank and apply for a loan, you can take that loan from yourself and have a choice whether you want to put that back or not. So it's definitely something that I want to, you know, be an advocate of. And, sometimes it's not the end all be all, but I feel like it's a start. It's a place that you can put your safe money and it's going to remain safe. And even if you want to be more aggressive on your investing side, or you want to do things in different areas of investing in money, it's always good to have a hedge for that. And I feel like life insurance is an amazing one.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we as a community have to get out of the idea of continuing to repeat the same mistakes. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, even though death is a certainty for everybody, we're under this illusion that we have time, you know, but next second I could be out of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there is no real concept that, like, no time is promised, you know? So you have to, while you're here, you have to prepare, because a lot of families are doing things in the reverse fashion. They leave their family with debt. You know, whether that be credit card, home, car, you know what I mean? Because my parents are telling me about, you know, when they decided that they wanted to have kids and get a home and things like that, they have an insurance policy that if any one of them passes away before the mortgage is paid completely, it covers the price of the mortgage, you know, because... like, a lot of people don't even know those things exist, and things like market link CDs and Roth IRAs, you know, because, like, I was telling my mom, I was like, okay, the 401k that you typically have from your job, you can't look at that number the right way because it hasn't been taxed.
Right.
100%. So you're looking at it like, I got 700,000, but yeah. You know, and I was reading this book by Tony Robbins, and it was saying, you know, just as a rule of thumb, always expect taxes to be higher in the future than it is in the past. You know,
even when you're thinking about your simple bank account, your checking account, you know, let's think about how much a Coke was in the 1920s. I mean, that's probably a nickel. And then we think about how much is a Coke now. So even if we're looking at our bank account as, you know, years go on, inflation is the your biggest enemy, and being, you know, unaware. And I feel like that's the main thing. And like I said, the more we're able to talk about this, and I know we're talking about finance, but even when you're thinking about, like, mental health and our personal health, most of the time we think we have time. We think we have time to go to the doctor, or we think we have time to, you know, have that conversation later. But, you know, certain things that if we can just take a step back and be like, okay, let me go ahead and talk to somebody about this right now. Or let me at least, you know, we have the amazing thing called the internet, and we're able to, you know, apply ourselves and try to just gain knowledge with different aspects of anything. So I feel like if the mindset is just look at my situation, be aware of what's going on with my situation. If there's something I want to change about it, take that action now rather than later. That'll be always the best bet.
Yeah. And then, like, too, just being under this constant state of progression. I know you do the 4 a.m. wake ups and stuff like that. You know, you got to, you know, check your phone, you be like, you know, that takes attention to the detail and being intentional about the type of life that you want to live.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be 50 with heart disease, diabetes. You get what I'm saying? So you're taking those steps now in your 20s to make sure that you prevent that from happening in the future. Definitely. And I think that,
yeah, I feel like, I mean, my mindset, even when I personally think of retirement, and I know, you know, most of the time as in your 20s, that's probably not the thing that people, you know, ask. And regardless of how old you are, I'm asking you, what's your definition of retirement? Mine is flexibility and control. So rather than trying to put an age on it, I feel like I'm going to work for the rest of my life. That's just the type of person I am. But I definitely want to get to the point sooner than later to where I don't have to. So once I have that mindset, it's just a matter of like, okay, I have control over this, you know, rather than relying on my company for benefits, rather than relying on someone else to, you know, invest for me or save for me or budget for me. I have control over this. Even if I'm working in a career and I'm on track to retire at 68, but I'm making a certain amount or I'm contributing a certain amount, and I could, you know, probably, you know, invest some money on the side to, you know, exhilarate that a little bit more, you know, accelerate that a little bit more. So I feel like the mindset that has to be is rather than waiting on somebody to come save you, take control, take action, understand what you want and do what's necessary to go get it.
Yeah, I forget who said that, but they were saying nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to save you. You're on your own out here. You know what I mean? And, you know, your parents going, you know, they might give you a biscuit. You know what I mean? But but at the end of the day, you know, it's your responsibility. And, you know, once you know better, do better. You know, and I think that there are platforms out there that are making our community aware 100%. Of the need to prepare in the future.
Definitely. Yeah. This podcast, like, what's that? The Liberators podcast? Oh, that this one right here.
Earn Your Leisure. I love them.
Yeah, man. I reached out to Rashad when I graduated college, and I told him what I was about to start doing with my brother. And he had the time to DM me back. I know they done blew up now, but he had the time to reach back out to me and gave me a little advice on just basic knowledge on how to just work with people. And I taking that to this day and being able to know that it's like, all right, I'm on the right track. I've been able to do what I've done, you know, thus far and just continue to go from there. It's an amazing feeling.
Most definitely. And you were recently married, correct?
I was.
Okay, congratulations. I see you. how has becoming a husband changed the way that you approach life?
It's just, I mean, I'm a month in, and it's, you know, I feel like you still, what's they call it, the newlywed phase.
Yeah.
It's an amazing feeling. It's truly an amazing feeling. I married my best friend, my biggest supporter. She literally pushes me each and every day to be the best version of me. And she's no slouch. She's a beast. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Miss Louisiana 2018. She's on Broadway now, and she works her butt off. So being able to team up with a person like that, it just motivates me to go harder. And she's living out her dreams, and I'm doing what I can to live out mine. And I feel like the best is yet to come for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And iron sharpens iron, you know. That's what it is, you know. And in the Bible, it tells us to be evenly yoked. You know what I mean? So you don't want to be with somebody that is bringing you down or don't understand the aspirations that you have for your life. And it takes a special person to understand somebody that they have a goal, but goals are always fluid. You get what I mean? Once we achieve this one, it's to the next one and to the next one and to the next one. It doesn't stop.
I wish I could take more credit too. I wish I could take more credit, but this was nothing but God. Like just how we met and the connections we had. Her dad actually was someone that came and spoke at my father's church when I was, you know, like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So being able to, you know, see things come full circle and get married and It's a crazy, crazy thing. So I'm definitely blessed. And I know this isn't, you know, relationship talk, but it's crazy to understand like the little things that you can do to just make something like this work. Like we're not, even right now, we're in kind of a distance thing. And we first started talking at the end of 2018. And like we both know, I went back to school at the spring of 2019. So it's kind of been like a back and forth thing since then, but having communication be on point, you know, being both rooted and grounded in our faith and understanding that, you know, God is in control of all things, and having that mindset, it's just been an amazing thing.
I agree, man. You know, I'm looking forward to doing it soon. I'm looking forward to doing it soon. I think just the person you're with, if you're going to do it the right way, you know what I mean? Right. The person that you're with really determines how your life will be, you know. Is that the type of person that, you know, you want to raise kids with? You know, is that the type of person that you want to build with, that you can trust, you know, with your life and things like that? And that's why I think it's important to find a partner beyond the things that are vain, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like beauty and stuff like that. That's cool and all, you know, we love beautiful women, but at the end of it,
I'm about to say beauty don't pay the bills.
It do pay some bills, you know? But you know, I think things like loyalty, support, you know, the things that you were mentioning ahead, you know, it's just going to make you a better person, you know.
Like even the people that I look up to in my life and the mentors that I have, their wives are their secret weapon. Absolutely. So like being blessed to know that I have my secret weapon now, and it's only up from here. It feels great.
Yeah, definitely, man. But the question that everybody wants to know, how are you able to balance all of these different commitments at a high level, you know, and seemingly in a effortless way? You know, you have what kind of habits, daily routines, organization systems, delegating, scheduling, because you get a lot done, you know, in a finite amount of time.
Definitely. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, you, even with those things, it started with building that habit, you know. It started with, you know, getting used to that daily routine. It started with having a focus of being organized. That those are the things that keep me, you know, sane first off, but it also keeps me going. And I think it stems from the most part, of course, how I was raised, but, you know, being an athlete. So, you know, especially in school, if you're a student athlete, if you don't have time management and you don't have balance, it's going to be a tough time. So being able to, you know, learn from my mistakes and grow then, and being able to understand, it's like, all right, I want to do all of these things, or I want to be at a certain level, or I want to make a certain impact. But if I'm not able to do multiple things at once, and I wouldn't even say multiple things at once, because, you know, I think statistically speaking, multitasking isn't real. You're at a certain point, you're focused on only one thing. So being able to understand that if there's moving parts in the background, being aware and being in control, I want to know that, okay, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that right, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that right. So it started off with, I live by my calendar. I have a schedule, you know. I wake up at 4 a.m., I go to the gym, I come back.
Why the 4 a.m.?
Well, I mean, I think that stems with Kobe, RIP. Kobe was a part of that 4 a.m. club, and it feels like, you know, you wake up that time and you work out. It feels good, first off, for you. And then secondly, it almost feels like you got the rest of the day ahead of you, and you've kind of broken things off. Like I wake up at 4 a.m., I go to the gym, I come back, I pray, I shower, I read, I'm checking my email. And, you know, by the time, 9 a.m. it isn't even here yet. It's you know, 7:30, 8, and I can already, you know, pinpoint. It's like, all right, you know, this needs to get done, that needs to get done. And let me make sure I'm eating. Let me make sure, if I'm able to do that, it gives me much more time to focus. It gives me much more time to do things at a higher level. And you said effortlessly, but, you know, perception, yeah. The new reality. But it's, you know, a lot of trial and error, a lot of making sure that I'm aware. Like even today, like I agreed to do something at 2, and like if I wouldn't have checked my calendar and saw that we had a little conflict, it would have been crazy. So staying on top of those things, and I feel like it all boils down to the type of person that I want to be. This isn't, you know, something I would, you know, necessarily recommend, because I saw Spider-Man last night. With great power comes great responsibility.
that was a good movie. That was a good one.
And I wouldn't even say I want great power, but I want to make a great impact. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in order to make a great impact, I have to take on a level of responsibility in order to do that. So that's always been the mindset. So, you know, waking up at 4 and working out is just like an amazing feeling to be like, okay, I'm up, somebody else is asleep right now, and I'm blessed to be up and getting after it. And I don't want average, you know, I don't want regular things, I don't want basic. So I feel like in order to obtain the extraordinary, in order to obtain the above average, I have to do extraordinary and above average things. Mm-hmm.
And it's something that Eric Thomas always says. He says, success is in the routine. You know, success is in your routine, because motivation, those feelings of emotion are fleeting. You know, it's here today, it's like vapor, you know what I mean? But that routine, once you've embedded that into your habit, you're doing that every day. You know, so your success isn't based on how you feel, it's based on the system.
It's the little things. I also, you know, help coach at, you know, Sacred Heart Uptown, and I tell my middle school girls, it's the little things. Like, I understand that it's a big picture. I understand that what I want to accomplish, the goals I want to have, and the things that I want to do. But if I don't focus on the mundane things day in and day out, those are the things that are going to add up to ultimately my dreams and goals.
I agree. Like Atomic Habits, they have this concept of the 1% better every day. And by doing that, you reinvent yourself over 3 times every year. You know, if you stay disciplined with that every single day, you know, and I think a lot of times people just want this grandiose change. You know, they want to, you know, have a 40-inch vertical after doing 10 squats. It's not going to happen that way.
It's the same thing. I feel like that was J. Cole talking about even the growth of a rap career. It's like if you get it quick, it's probably going to leave quick. Yeah. But if you take your time, and if you focus on the small things, and you're going at it day in and day out, you're going to appreciate that journey even more, and you're going to understand how to obtain it forever. So that's the mindset that I have. I don't want anything fast. I want things to come, you know, in due time, and I want to appreciate it because I work for it.
Yeah. My grandma used to say, quickly come, quickly go, you know? So absolutely. How do you cope with the pressure of having so many people depend on you for their livelihood, whether that be your brother as an artist, you know, your wife now, students, as you know, being a board of trustees member, which we'll talk about that, and also, you know, working for New York Life. You know, you're responsible for the livelihood of others on a daily basis. And how do you cope with it?
I wouldn't even call it pressure. I feel like with that mindset, you give me too much credit. My thought process when it comes to working with my brother, to working with my clients, to working to the, you know, the good of a university is just to add value. These entities, these people, they're great already. They're doing what's necessary to reach their goals. They're doing what's necessary to be successful. My job is to come in and help. My job is to come in and serve, and I view all of those things as just adding value. Even, you know, being married now, like, my wife is a boss, and I don't view it as a thing of, you know, pressure to provide, or pressure to keep her happy, or pressure. The mindset is just like, okay, we're going to be bosses together, and I'm going to do what I can to make her a boss. And I know her mindset behind being my wife is to do what she can to, you know, help me boss up as well. That's the same thing with my brother. Like, oh my God, one of the most creative people I know, extremely talented. He makes his own beats. He's writing his lyrics. You know, he's just out of this world. So my role coming in wasn't, oh my God, let me take all this weight. Nah, it was like, okay, you got this going already. Let me add value. And that's the same thing with my clients. It's like, you know, y'all are already taking an amazing step that people aren't doing. Like, people, you know, we already know they're not having these types of conversations. You know, people don't want to take that action. So to have somebody come in, want to take action, want to make a change, the thought isn't, you know, now the pressure's on me to, you know, make sure their investments perform well. Nah, it's like, all right, let me make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to, you know, recommend the right products. I'm doing what I need to do to, you know, hold you accountable. I'm doing what I need to do to just add value to your financial plan. So, nah, no pressure at all. It's just a mindset of like, okay, this is a team. I want to be the best teammate that I possibly can be and play my role, do my part, and we go in together.
Most definitely. Let's talk a little bit about you being a board of trustees for Loyola University of New Orleans and being the youngest board of trustee. How, first of all, how, you know, what is your role and what have you learned from being in term so far?
Well, first and foremost, shout out to my Neos, my friend.
Hey, man, shout out to AFA.
Even Richardson, Zantre City, man, those boys were SGA president, SGA vice president, and they had a goal to make sure that there were younger voices that would bridge the gap between, you know, the students and the higher-ups. So this was, you know, nothing that I really anticipated. I feel like it was a long time coming. They fought for this. And when I was even approached about it, I got an email saying that I was nominated to become, you know, a young alumni trustee. And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, okay, you know, this might be something that, you know, I'm, you know, go to SGA meetings, you know, tell the students that, you know, we're you know, here for you. But then in due time, I had a president, we're a president, I had a meeting with President Tanya Tetlow and a current board member, and I realized, no, this was a full-blown board position. They wanted to make sure that, you know, the students were being heard, but also wanted to understand that former students that have already gone through this and have been through what the current students are going through would be a good voice and be a good addition to their already established board. So I was honored. I was elated, ecstatic. My mom was over the moon. Of course, my dad being in education, extremely excited. So it was nothing I necessarily planned for, but when the opportunity presented itself, I was just humbled, ultimately humbled. So it was just, I started my term this past August. It's a 3-year term, and I'm able to, you know, we meet quarterly. I serve as a fiduciary for the university, and I just do whatever I possibly can to uplift it, make sure that we're doing what we can to make sure the students are taken care of and heard. And I mean, at the end of the day, we you know, have a different view of things being a Jesuit university. We, rather than just focused on, you know, students coming in, getting, you know, tuition paid for and graduating them, we focused on educating the whole student and forming values and understanding what we do is bigger than just classes in, you know, different colleges. We're trying to form young human beings into being successful in everything that they do. So being part of a university that has that type of focus that aligns with, you know, how I already think, I'm just honored. I'm truly honored. And I'm happy to add my perspective, happy to just be a sponge and be able to sit at the table with these people and learn from what they've gone through as a university and also individuals, and being able to take that back and help the students that are currently there, try to engage alumni that have graduated and just uplift the university as a whole. So it's an amazing feeling, and I'm just eager to serve.
Most definitely. And I was really inspired you know, to see you get that position, you know, and also just intrigued, you know, because board of trustees, I like to say, are the people that run the campus that you never see, you know. Like, I think you might be the most visible trustee we've ever seen, you know, but also having somebody that is so close to the students, right, that you understand actively what students are facing in the 21st century. You know, the problems that students faced in the 80s is different than what students face now, you know. So it was really, you know, exciting and inspirational to see you, you know, get into that role and not shy away from it, but to be bold and strong in that, you know, because we need more of that. We need more of that presence in spaces like that, in the rooms where it really counts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's wild even thinking of it, because I remember, you know, going to class and seeing like the people in suits, like getting their tours and whatever. And then, you know, being one of those people this past semester, but being able to, you know, pass a student that I know, or pass, mm-hmm, you know, a student that I played with, and, you know, shake their hand and say what's up. And seeing people that look like me also walking through campus and knowing that their voices are being heard, their voices are going to be heard, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that their college experience is as great as it possibly can be. Because anybody that knows me knows I love Loyola, but also know that I feel like I had like the full experience. Like I played basketball, but even when I was hurt and I had to, you know, kind of just focus on school a little bit, I got involved. You know, I pledged into the greatest fraternity known to man. I was involved in other extracurriculars, but also, you know, seeing the different avenues and different, you know, lights of a college and university, and making sure that, okay, so-and-so doesn't feel like they're being heard. What can we do to make sure that they know what's going on over here, and bridging those gaps, and ranging from, you know, faculty all the way to, you know, staff. And I mean, we got Sodexo, so I mean, I know Sodexo workers by name, and making sure that, you know, I'm you know, doing what I can, and that's the mindset overall. Like God is crazy when it comes to certain things like this. So whatever impact that I'm supposed to make in this scenario, I pray that I'm able to do it.
Yeah. I know you have this system, you know, that I first saw, which is rest, prayer, focus, productivity, consistency, repeat, you know, and I thought that that was so profound when I first, you know, saw you start pushing, you know, that type of mindset to have and the way that you approach your life. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, I mean, I guess it's pretty clear that my overall goal is to be successful at whatever I do. But I feel like a lot of time when people view success, they view work. Like you said earlier, I feel like success is all about a routine. And then you have to look at yourself as a human. You got to look at yourself as, you know, if you're going to work hard, or if you're going to, you know, be in a certain career, or if you're an athlete, or if you're a student. Look at the whole aspect of that and do what's necessary to excel. And I know, like right now with me personally, rest is big. You know, I like to sleep. I like my naps. But right. I perform well when I'm well rested. So that's most definitely going to be a focus. Like, I mean, I wake up at 4 a.m, so I'm in bed by 9. And that's important to me, because in order to perform how I need to day in and day out, I need my rest. And I know that everything that I have and everything that I'm going to get, every door that's been open, every door that's been closed, is because of God. So I need to have those conversations with him daily. So I'm always praying. I try to, you know, a lot of people think praying, you got to get on your knees, you know, hands closed and eyes, you know, but I view it as just simple conversations and, you know, knowing that he's up there, knowing that he's with me wherever I'm at. And I try to, you know, pray continuously throughout the day. And focus is, you know, a focal point for me. I need to be able to, you know, sit down and, you know, be in situations that help me excel. So focus is big. And I think, you know, rest, prayer, helped me to focus and approach things in a different aspect. So it's definitely something that I try to hone in on. And everything that I do, I just want to be productive. I don't care if I'm coaching. I don't care if I'm meeting with a client. I don't care if I'm, you know, sitting in a meeting. I want to be productive. So productivity is how I try to approach each day. And you have to define productivity for yourself. A lot of people think, you know, if you don't make money, you weren't productive that day. That's not kind of the mindset that I have. Today, I didn't really have work, but I woke up and I cleaned things up, and I feel like today was a productive day because I was able to do some cleaning, and I was able to, you know, go coach some basketball a little bit. So define productivity for yourself and try to do what you can each and every day to just be a little bit productive and get better. And consistency is the key. Doing something amazing once is, you know, it's not that impressive, but if you can do something amazing day in, day out, that's what's going to ultimately get you to what you want to be, however you define success or whatever success is for you. You have to be consistent in order to do that. Consistency and discipline kind of go hand in hand. Once that habit is built, once you're able to understand, you're like, all right, this isn't just going to do itself. This weight ain't going to fall off itself. You know, this vegetable is not going to cook and eat itself. You know, this money isn't going to make itself. You have to figure out, it's like, all right, what do I need to be disciplined with? How do I need to be consistent with this in order to succeed in the way that I want to succeed? So once I realized that, and I mean, that came from, it's crazy, I had the routine before I had the words. I was trying to understand what I was doing that was helping me be better. And that's what I was doing. Like I was going to bed early. I was waking up. I was working out. I was doing what I can be to be organized. I was, you know, and that helped me to stay focused and just doing that day in, day out. It's kind of like going to the gym. Can't go in there and just try to, you know, lift the heaviest weights. So if, you know, success in this scenario is strength, you got to start somewhere. And then you got to, you know, repetition. And then, you know, lo and behold, you'll be able to lift what you didn't think you were going to be able to lift at the beginning. And that's all because of what you've been doing day in and day out.
It's just, you know, a lot of people don't have a system to how they approach their life. It's just random. You know, they just let things happen to them. You know, it's like you wake up and they're like, well, what you gonna do today? I don't know. And you do too many days of that, you know, a year will pass you by and you be like, what did I really do?
And I feel like it just all goes back to just being aware, like truly being aware of how you're currently approaching your day, taking a step back and understanding what you want. Like most of the times we're going through, especially on the finance side, I have people, you know, just going to work to pay their expenses. And then when I ask them what's more important than money to them, they don't know. Cause that's, you know, that's all, but it's like once you take a step back and understand, it's just like, oh, my health is important to me. My family is important to me. You know, my time is important to me. I'd like to spend that how I want to. And that kind of helps you, you know, okay, if I have this job and I'm doing this from this time to this time, what can I do in this area to help me, you know, move further to being successful in whatever you define success to be for you? And I keep saying that because success is different to everybody. Absolutely. My version of success isn't going to be your version of success. So however you view your level of success, you want to make sure that you're at least doing something each and every day to lead up to that.
What's the motto that you live by?
It's tatted on me. My dad told it to me growing up over and over. I feel like he printed it out. He typed it on a Word document. That's how he got us to clean our rooms. Service is the rent you pay for the space you occupy. A lot of times people think I'm, you know, honed in on making money or honed in on being famous or, you know, something in that regard. But at the end of the day, I just want to serve. I don't care if I'm in a client meeting. I don't care if I'm coaching. I don't care if I'm, you know, on a podcast. I just want to serve. So at the end of the day, if I could just be a servant I think that's going to, you know, be the best route for me, because that's all I want to do. I just want to help. And I think I'm doing that right now, and I want to continue to do that. I want to continue to make an impact. So just serve.
Yeah. I learned early on in life that to serve is better to be able to serve than to need to be served.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So, Yeah. You know, and I find that people that serve and make it their mission and their mindset, and, you know, they go out of their way to serve, they oftentimes they never really need.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, God puts certain people in position to serve, you know, to have that role, you know, because everybody doesn't have that mindset. Some people have, I got mine, you know, you get yours, and that type of mindset, I think, can be so detrimental to helping communities excel, helping communities thrive, you know, because your service can inspire the next person to serve. You know, mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, Ben did this for me, you know, so I'm going to pay it forward to do it for him so that he, you know, it keeps it moving, you know.
And I feel like oftentimes people feel like they don't know what to do. And if you can look at your scenario, or look at the situation that you're in, and just figure out how you could add benefit or just add value or help in that scenario, that is going to always serve you better than just trying to, you know, just sit around, wait for somebody to do something for you. That's how I approach everything. Even going from being an athlete, you know, to being, you know, an adult and working, I'm always looking for opportunities or ways to serve, because that's always going to, you know, serve me better in the long run.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause even as an athlete, you serve, you know, it's entertainment. There are people that are coming to that game and they might be depressed. You know,
definitely 100%.
So, you know, any final thoughts or anything like that?
Yeah, no, man, I'm truly, truly happy to be here. It's crazy because you reached out to me, and I feel like I do have a story. You know, I feel like I've been through, you know, my share of trials and tribulations, and they're not, you know, anywhere close to being done. But even the things that I've been through, I feel like I want to be able to share a little bit more. I want to be able to have these type of conversations a little bit more. I want to, you know, my goal is to just make a crazy impact on this world. You know, talking a little bit more, you know, speaking in public a little bit more, being on podcasts was, you know, a goal of mine for 2022. And then you reached out. So being able to be a part of the Liberators podcast at the top of 2022 is a huge accomplishment for me, and I'm excited for what's to come in your world and in your fields with your books and everything that you have going on. Blessings to all your endeavors.
Definitely, your book coming soon.
It's coming.
Yeah, heard it here first. You know, but one thing that we always want to do, we always want to support the people that we have on, you know, just whatever you have going on, as well as just being a medium for people, you know, to connect and be able to learn from you, you know. So, you know, we always ask our listeners for their contact information, ways that we could, you know, support how, you know, you doing financial advisement, as well as, you know, just giving gems and everything like that.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I mean, always just feel free to Google Benjamin C. Fields. That should bring up, you know, everything pertaining to me, all my socials, my New York Life website. If you can go to my Twitter and Instagram is BenCF. I have a link in my bio on my Facebook as well as Benjamin C. Fields for a free financial consultation. I want to have a conversation with everybody. 30 minutes, and I'm just literally, you know, asking questions, trying to understand where you are to help you have a better understanding of where you are to, you know, ultimately get to where you want to be. And I'm open to having those conversations all the time, and anything pertaining to, you know, the music side as well. Don't hesitate to DM me. I love, you know, creatives. I like to, you know, have those conversations ranging from businesses. I mean, I've talked to, you know, Gabe at Serene. I've talked to my guy Trey at Rare Roses. Amazing things in the clothing industry, and even talking to other music artists that, you know, want to pursue that. And just, you know, a lot of people just need someone to, you know, bounce ideas off of, you know, and I love being that person. And that's my overall goal with all of this. I like the decision aspect. I mean, the decision making aspect of things. I love the, you know, conversation aspect when it comes to situations like this. So anytime people have any questions, comments, or concerns, please don't hesitate to reach out and stream Aha Gazelle. It's, you know,
oh yeah, absolutely fire.
Yeah, one of the highest. And this is going to be an amazing year for him. I'm excited for the work ethic that he's been able to put in. I'm happy I was able to get him back to New Orleans to just, you know, be focused on his craft and the growth that he's undergoing. So it's going to be a great year. And it's AHA Gazelle on everywhere, YouTube, Apple Music, Tidal, however you listen to music, however you buy your music, run it up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And we'll definitely be supporting that, supporting you. We thank you for stopping by, you know, sacrificing, you know, your time, you know, and your busy schedule, and, you know, giving us things that we can have in order to improve our lives on a daily basis. So, man, we certainly appreciate it.
Definitely, man. So happy to be here. Thank you
for having me. Definitely. And thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Liberators Podcast. If you're still here, you're enjoying the Liberators Podcast. We ask that you would share and rate us on your favorite listening platform. Also, follow us on Instagram at the Liberators Podcast. If you would like to support the development of this podcast financially, please follow the support link from Anchor in the show notes. Thank you for your time. Stay liberated. From yours truly, your host, Jeremy Shropshire.